Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. Today I have my great friend Jeff Glother here, and he is going to tell us about how he rebranded himself. Jeff and I have known each other for a few years now. We met during COVID, right? Like right before. Yeah. So we've known each other for a few years. I think both of us have been going on a journey, kind of following each other, you know, doing a little of that and this and trying to, you know, find ourselves and where we're meant to be in life. So it's been very interesting following your journey. So get your emails and seeing kind of what you're doing. And I'm just really interested for other people to kind of hear about a little bit of your backstory. And, you know, because it's one thing, you know, I always say we all have a story, right? It's one thing we see people out in the, you know, out in the open and we just see what we see, but we never see what actually led them there. So most people didn't know why I got into health until they started hearing my backstory, you know, of how I was a caregiver and learning nutrition for brain health and stuff like that. And people are like, what? Wait, what? Exactly. So, yeah. So I'm very interested in allowing you to share today. This is your, you know, I always say this is your stage. So this is your place to be able to tell your story and kind of what led you to doing what you are, what you're doing today. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, who you are. Tell everybody out there who you are and what you do and what you love.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jody. It's a pleasure being back on. And, you know, it's as you alluded to, it's been a long, strange trip. There's been fits and starts. It hasn't been the kind of the traditional life or career path that I think so many of us perhaps were accustomed to growing up with. So I grew up, my dad was in the same job for, you know, almost 20 years until he died, unfortunately, very young. That's what I was used to. Other kids, you know, parents, they would just kind of, you know, find a job right out of college and then they'd plant a flag and they were set and there was that stability. And that just didn't, you know, turn out to be the case for me, for better and for worse. You know, what I've discovered kind of looking back is that not only did I identify some common threads that didn't seem very apparent in the moment, but I discovered a lot about me and what makes me uniquely who I am in the process. So really looking back, I like to say now, you either win or you learn. You know, there aren't any losses. You know, everything that you go through in life, there's some sort of takeaway that you can then use to ensure that you're going to continue on this upward trajectory as you move forward, as long as you're conscious of what you learned along the way and you actually put it into action. So
that right there, hold on. We can stop right there for a second because what you just said is what I find myself saying a whole lot to a whole lot of people, including myself, right? It's like, it's great to dream, you know, but we have to take the action steps to get us where we desire to go. So I had to stop real quick because I didn't want to just kind of float over that. That was a nugget right there. So if you're listening out there, make sure you pick up that nugget because he just threw one out for you.
I like to say that thinking is a doer's worst enemy. And I was the quintessential dreamer. I had, you know, it wasn't this, you know, the struggle for me wasn't not knowing what to do. It was figuring out where to harness those thoughts and harness that energy into one very clear path. And for me growing up, I was textbook ADD. I didn't get diagnosed until well into my 20s, but I had chased the shiny object syndrome. Yep. There were a lot of things that I love to
we're
do.
We're all like that sometimes.
I think, especially creatives, especially people in service industries, those that want to help others. Then, you know, we have a lot of passions. We have a lot of interests. And sometimes it can be very difficult trying to kind of get it all kind of compartmentalized and have the clarity that we so desperately need.
Yeah.
So for me, growing up, I knew I wanted to be kind of in the public in some way, shape or form. Initially as an athlete, I was always a big sports guy. That's something I inherited from my dad. He was a big sports fan too. And by the time I got to high school, there was a reality check. I realized that I was too small, too short, too skinny, got winded too easily, and it probably just wasn't in the cards for me to be an athlete. However, I also discovered that I was a very good writer. I enjoyed writing and got, you know, great reviews from my writing in school, whether it be English class or, you know, in the school newspaper. So I decided the next best thing was, well, I can write about sports if I can't play them professionally. So that was, you know, kind of what set off my sights for college and beyond. You know, became sports editor and ultimately the editor in chief of my school newspaper, and everything was kind of lining up nicely. Got an internship at the Times Union here in Jacksonville, and this is where the ADD now kicks in. So patience has never been one of my biggest virtues. And
yeah, I think that's where you and I align a lot.
Right. It's like, how come this isn't happening? I'm doing all the right things. You know, all right, this should be appearing right in front of me right now. What gives? So after maybe 2 or 3 weeks of searching and not finding anything that was, you know, ready for the taking, you know, perhaps serendipitously, there was an opportunity to work as a leadership consultant for my fraternity. So I had someone that I was in the same fraternity with at school that wound up becoming a leadership consultant. He came back to visit, said, you know something, Jeff, this would be great for you. You should check it out. I wound up doing that. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity for 2 years, I got to travel all over the country, technically the continent. I kind of slipped into Canada for a little bit and, you know, made a stop in Mexico, but it was an amazing experience. I got to visit over 40 states, over 100 different campuses. And I had no intention of going back to school, but after visiting over 100 schools, and also at the time, you know, the job market wasn't necessarily the best. I grew a little wistful of the experience and decided to go back. So went back to school. I knew that I didn't want to go back for journalism. It felt redundant to me. And again, it wouldn't hold my attention. But I've always been passionate about the arts as well. So in addition to sports, love the entertainment industry, movies, TV, film. So I went to film school and majored in screenwriting. After those 2 years, when half my class made the mass exodus out to Hollywood, I chickened out and stayed back. And it was at that point when I decided to pursue the initial career path of a journalist. So hovered in South Florida for a few years. I was a stringer for the Associated Press and, you know, went to different, you know, sporting events. And, you know, that's probably when I felt most of my element, when I was in the locker room, on the field, in the press room. You know, I really felt like I could speak the language. And I was kind of reliving that dream that I had initially as a kid.
Let me stop you right there. Sure. So, because you talked about, so you were doing the journalism for, and you said in high school, right, for sports and things like that. So how many years passed before you went full circle and came back to that?
So that was about 4 years. So I did the 2 years after
undergrad. I talk about that a lot because it's like we end up right back where we're meant to be. It's just we keep fighting it because we're still trying to.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to stop that because there, you know, a lot of people go through that, you know, and I went through, you know, I've gone through it and you've gone through it. And so I wanted to kind of halt you real quick and just kind of harp on that a little bit, because if you're out there and you're listening and you find yourself kind of going back, it's like you're led back to where you're kind of meant to be, but then we still tend to fight it, right?
So you can
go ahead now, but
I don't think I was fighting against it. I was trying to force things to go either faster or further than they were perhaps meant to be in that moment. So again, it was that quick fix that I was hoping for, that, hey, listen, I paid my dues. I went to school. I was the editor in chief of the paper. I've gotten bylines already. I'm in the press conference room at 19 years old. I'm doing my thing, but it's still somehow not happening fast enough or the way that I wanted. And, you know, because of that, and this was a common trend as we'll discover, you know, continue to kind of get my own way.
So
it was 2 years where I traveled and then 2 years where I went back to grad school. Then I was off and running. You know, I had a bridge job there as I was freelancing. I worked for like this recruiting firm, and you know, and then it was kind of in my element, but it was still just kind of me scrambling from gig to gig. Was never really a big fan of South Florida, so even though from a career perspective things were starting to fall into place, from a mental and emotional perspective, I was feeling really alone. I really didn't feel like I was, you know, really in my element from that perspective. So I wound up going back to my roots. I grew up in New Jersey and went up there with the intention that, you know what, I'm going to go up for a year, maybe two max, going to, you know, just kind of recharge the batteries, hit the reset button, see what happens. And then I'll, you know, either head back south or head back west and take it from there. Of course, the best laid plans, right? So that 1 or 2 years wound up turning into, let's see, 12, I believe, or 11
years.
Yes. So, I wound up.
So that one to two actually got put together.
Like, yeah, right.
The one to the two actually ended up just
put it all together. Yes, exactly. So, you know, the universe may be miscalculated there. Yes. You're like, oh, one to two, you mean one bit. And two? Yeah. So wound up doing that. And again, was continuing on the journalistic path and working my way up a ladder. I worked for a community publication. And then I had what I felt at the time was a position where I was 20 feet away from my dream job, which was the sports editor for my hometown daily newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I was the metro editor. Now, in the moment, it seemed like that was a great opportunity. I could get the foot in the door. In hindsight, I wound up finding out that I was, I think, the ninth metro editor in 11 years. So that didn't bode too well. And almost as soon as it began, it was ending, because that was also around the time that print started giving way to digital. Everybody was just kind of getting let go left and right.
Right.
And I found myself kind of, you know, last one in, first one out kind of deal. So that was short lived, you know, but I got a taste of it. Yeah. And went back to my to freelancing, wound up teaching. So I always enjoyed kind of the coaching aspect of things, which certainly mm-hmm. I know is a parallel between us.
Yeah.
Love helping others, love kind of, getting those light bulb moments to mm-hmm. go off for other people. So I taught writing as an adjunct, did that for a little bit. And as I was doing that, was freelancing, worked for Bleacher Report, which seemed great at the time. They say timing is everything, though. So this was prior to them generously compensating their writers, but it was a good vanity ad as far as getting the byline in there.
Right.
But you know, over time, as I was starting that family and starting that new path of my life, adjunct professor/freelance writer wasn't necessarily cutting it, and found myself pivoting into sales and marketing as a way to put food on the table and to make a healthy living. It was reluctant at first, but I wound up discovering that I had a knack for it and wound up working my way up into management, ultimately in reputation management, where I was running sales and marketing teams for a few different startups. And again, I embraced this because it seemed like the perfect combination of this newfound sales and marketing aptitude that I had and my passion for the media and, you know, connecting with those platforms. So did a few different startups over the course of about 10 years. And each one was very eerily similar, where they were these well-funded startups. They had, you know, really great recruitment as far as bringing in great talent from all over the region, amazing high-profile clients. Only one small problem was that we weren't able to actually consistently deliver for them on a regular basis. And being a man of integrity, that really wore on me. Also, being a manager of teams, of sales teams specifically, you know, it was really difficult for me to say, hey, you know, pay no attention to the elephant in the room. Just, you know, keep your head down and just keep grinding. So it was tough and wound up ultimately forcing my way out of the last couple of those positions. So for me, also, it's hard for me to just kind of constrain myself and
yeah.
not express myself when something wrong is happening. And yeah. I pride myself on being an advocate, especially for the people that I'm supposed to serve.
Right.
And that didn't always sit well with ownership. That was just, about the bottom line.
Yeah.
So wound up moving back down to Florida. I had a remote job where it was based out of California, again, in the reputation management space. Again, it was kind of Groundhog Day, where the same things were happening, where it was just a lot of idle talk, a lot of empty promises. And, around that time was also when the cracks started forming on other foundational pieces of my life. My marriage was beginning to crumble. Because of the layoff, I started hemorrhaging money. It was affecting my health. I ran into this ridiculous legal situation. It was almost like I was asking the universe, well, what else could go wrong?
Right.
And the universe was taking it.
And it was like,
repressing.
Oh, here.
Oh, since you asked,
since
here
you asked.
Go. Try this as well.
Yeah, never ask that question, you guys. I learned that. Never ask what else can go wrong, because there's a whole lot. You know, we think it's bad in that moment, but it can get a whole lot worse.
And that's the thing is at the end of the day, we are what we think about. Mm-hmm. And the more that we put out, you know, those types of thoughts,
yeah,
or any types of thoughts, the more that we're going to get like-minded thoughts back. So these last few years, especially, I've become a huge believer in the law of attraction.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, you put out certain vibrations, you're going to get those vibrations coming back, good, bad, or indifferent. And, yeah, you know, that's why it's so important for you to be conscious of what you're putting out there and realizing that there's a cause and effect to everything. So at that time, I certainly didn't realize that victim mentality that I was projecting and wondering why all of this, you know, all these bad things were continuing to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it continued to compound to the point where I woke up on my birthday in 2019 to a panic attack. And that, you know, certainly if nothing else, is a wake-up
call. That's not a good way to start your birthday.
Not a good way to start your birthday. And funny enough, later that day, I was actually trying out for a play. I had been on stage since college. So it had been nearly 20 years, I think, at that point. So everything was just kind of coming at me at once. You know, I was a couple months removed from the latest position I was in. Again, as mentioned, I was trying to salvage my marriage, you know, trying to just kind of stay in the right mindset and, you know, be in a good place physically, mentally, emotionally, but it was just all coming at me at once.
Yeah.
And it was to the point where I just felt like I was drowning and I didn't know where to go next. And yeah, that was, you know, as good of a wake-up call as any for me to get my act together. I had two small kids at that point that were counting on me to get my act together. So I knew I had to kind of take a step back and figure out, well, what's the next thing that I can do that if it's not going to propel me forward, it's going to at least prevent me from continuing to regress backwards. So I wound up coming up with a list of things that I felt were most necessary to do on a given day. I started out with, I think, 24 different things, and I ranked it from 0 to 5 as far as how well I did it. In other words, I completely overcomplicated the darn thing.
Yes.
So
I was gonna say, 24 is a lot.
It was a lot, but I didn't know how to whittle down because I felt like it was all important and it was all things that I needed to do.
Yep.
And it was one of those things where it was hard to see the forest from the trees anyway. So I decided, okay, what are all these things that I know I've seen from other people do? I've seen the transformation happen with other people. I've read about it. I'm like, okay, well, these are the things that I came up with. But through a series of trial and error, through a series of fits and spurts over the course of those next couple months, I was able to whittle that down from 24 to 10. And instead, and here's the big part, Jody, as far as what the turning point was, and instead of ranking it from 0 to 5, it was either I did it or I didn't do it.
Yes.
And it didn't matter how well I did. It didn't even matter how long I did it or how much.
Yep.
It just mattered that I did something and I checked off that box. And that was such a paradigm shift because growing up, whether it be in sports, whether it be in sales, you were always hearing the same cliche things from coaches, from managers, go hard or go home, no pain or no gain,
exactly.
Do your best. Yep. And honestly, that never worked for me because I was always my own worst critic. So anytime my best wasn't good enough or anytime I didn't go hard enough, in my opinion, I would just get let down and I would be more prone to just give up because
of
that.
Yep. Same. Definitely.
So that was the big thing for me is to give myself permission to just do something. And even if it's something crappy, you know, just do it, you know, half-assed.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because I still gave myself permission to check that off the list and keep that chain going. And it was the consistency that wound up turning the tides for me, that over the course of time, that the things, the bar naturally raised, you know, as far as the floor and momentum started organically happening. And again, we talked about that impatience for me, you know, it wasn't that quick fix, but again, I was trusting the process at this point. I was playing the long game. I had no choice.
Yeah.
You know, here I was at this crossroads in life. I had to do something and I had to just kind of stay in the moment to do it. And I couldn't afford to think too far ahead in the future because who knows what the future was going to hold. And it didn't make any sense to look back in the past because there's nothing I could do about it anyway.
Exactly.
It's come and gone.
Yeah.
So just kind of staying in the moment. And I guess the perfect example was with one of those habits was exercise. So I know you could appreciate this being in your field, was growing up. Again, I was an aspiring athlete, but, you know, small, skinny and all that. Mm-hmm. My mom wound up becoming a personal trainer in her 40s. So when my mm-hmm. dad passed away at 39, that was her escapism. And that was her way of kind of, you know, coping and right. And finding something constructive to do. And right. She got really into it, wound up becoming a competitive bodybuilder, which mm-hmm. I know you'll appreciate as well, yeah. which then turned into becoming a personal trainer. Yeah. So I had, in high school, I had a full gym in my basement, but I also had 100 TV channels in my living room. That was the easier way out.
The power of choice, right? It's like-
the power of choice, yeah, for better and for worse.
Choose, which choice do I make? Do I make the easy choice? And we tend to make the easy choice, right? Like the hard choice was going and doing and trying to learn how to work out, right? But the easy choice
and
was
I tempted
the 100.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I attempted. Well, here's the problem when you're working out with a professional personal trainer and they're your parents.
And they're your mom. Yes.
Yes. And they're your mom to boot specifically is that she kicked my butt. Yeah. So I would be sore for days and it would be very humbling.
Yeah.
And I didn't, again, I wasn't seeing the results. I was like, wait, right. I'm all sore for this and I'm not getting muscles. After a week, you know, what gives? So yes, the easier choice was just to, you know, watch MTV and ESPN upstairs instead. So that carried on with me into adulthood. So it was the same thing where I would get maybe a few weeks in and there would be some continuity, some consistency. Mm-hmm. And then inevitably life would happen. And, mm-hmm. you know, I would get sick or I would get distracted with other things, whether it be work or then it would take me off of my routine. And the longer I would get off the routine, the less likely it was that I would hop back on, you know, and start again.
That's why I tell people, don't take too long. Don't take too long. Because when you do, and it's all of us, right? It's like, because, mm-hmm. you know, I tell like the people I work with too, it's like, I'm on a journey too, right? Like it might look a little bit different, but I'm still on a journey too. So I can still go back to my old habits way easier, right? Like there's a lot of research out there. I read Dr. Joe Dispenza a lot. Mm-hmm. He talks about, because I like how quantum physics go against, you know, with faith and stuff like that. So I like to read about all that. But anyway, he talked about, you know, after the age of 35, it's going to take a whole lot longer because we're programmed, right? We're basically sleepwalking through life. We're operating off of our old programs. We're operating off of our old habits. So in order to change those habits, it's going to take a whole lot more effort. But I like what you said about, you know, not thinking about so much as, you know, like I used to think I had to go to the gym for 2.5 hours, right? Like, no, I don't. If I go for 30 minutes, I'm happy, right? Like I just have to be okay with that. And it's funny because I find myself saying that a lot. You know, James Clear has a book, Atomic Habits. I'm sure you looked at it. Yeah. Right. And there's Charles Duhigg with his Power of Habits. I referenced that in my book a little bit. And that's what matters, right? It's those little, I told a woman the other day, because she didn't want to, she's struggling with getting inside of the gym, right? Intimidation factor. And I said, I don't care if you go walk in and turn back around, do that every day until you walk in and stay for 5 minutes and then stay for 10 minutes and then stay for 15 minutes. And then you're going to get to know people because they're going to see you every day and you're going to form like this family because that's what I got now. And then you're going to start, you know, keeping up with each other and it's actually going to be pretty good, but you got to keep doing it, right?
Exactly.
So it's the same. It's no different in business. It's no different in life, right? It's like, we have to keep plugging away, but it's easy to check out.
Mm-hmm. The tortoise won the race for a reason, right, Jody?
Yes. That, yes.
It was, you know, I love part of with Tim Ferriss, yeah, in his book, Tools of Titans. I love, mm-hmm. he had a lot of great quotes that he pulled from his interviews, but one that I really love was no hurry, no pause. So you don't have to feel like you're always in a rush to get something done. You don't have to feel like you always have to go kind of full-fledged, full force, but you got to keep moving.
Yes.
You know, my grandmother who lived till 104, she was my favorite person in the world. She always would say, you can't catch a moving target.
Yeah.
And as long as you're moving, regardless of the speed, regardless of kind of the trajectory, that's the most important thing is that continuity of things. So that was my turning point was that with exercise, instead of feeling like I was obligated to go to the gym and work out to the point where I could barely breathe for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it might be.
Right.
I would always make two excuses. And these two excuses seem to translate across the board, even beyond exercise, for me not doing the thing that I know I should be doing. And mm-hmm. it's one, I don't have the time. And two, I don't have the energy.
Right.
Right. So how can I go to the gym? I don't have the time to do that. I don't have an hour. I have all these other things to do. And
right.
I don't have the energy to do it. Even if I did have the time, I'm too exhausted mentally, right. physically. So I asked myself, well, what if I did one push-up? I mean, I certainly have the time to do one push-up.
Right.
That's a second.
Yes.
I certainly have the energy to do one push-up. Yes. I don't have the energy to do one push-up. I got more serious issues than I even thought.
Exactly.
So that's where I started. I started with one push-up. And what would happen inevitably is that, well, I'm already here. I might as well do a set of push-ups.
Yep.
All right. Well, this is starting to feel good. Getting the blood flowing. Might as well do a few sets.
Yeah.
Before you know it, I'm now at the point 4 years later where I'm exercising at least 30 to 45 minutes a day. And it's the point where if I don't do it, I feel completely off.
Exactly.
Now.
So me too.
The script has been flipped.
Yeah.
Where it's now something that I embrace as opposed to doing it initially reluctantly.
Yeah.
But then giving myself permission to count that as a win if I just did one thing. And again, that translated into all these other daily tasks that I had put together as well. So
right. Meditation
was always something, again, no one's going to refute. Oh, well,
1 minute. You know, that's how I started. 1 minute.
You know, can I sit?
I can't sit still to save my life, but I can do it for 1 minute.
And even if I don't sit still, can I observe me not sitting still?
Yes.
Can I just be in silence, observe my thoughts and say, oh, okay, that's a thought. Oh, okay.
Right.
That's something, you know, that's an action or a feeling.
Yeah.
And to the point again, every day I'm typically meditating at least 15 minutes. And I can't tell you how much that's helped me as a person, as a human being. It's giving me more clarity. I'm no longer this angry person that I used to be. And that's a big part of it. That was a big component. And again, you know, with every other thing, whether it be journaling, you know, I'm a writer and I had the biggest imposter syndrome because I'm a writer and I'm not writing every day. Again, the time or the energy or not knowing what to do. Well, can I write one sentence? You know, it doesn't matter what that one sentence is. Write it, pat myself on the back, give myself permission to move on. And if something else occurs to me, then I can go back.
Yeah.
And so to this day, I still have those 10 tasks that I look at my spreadsheet with every day and I check off the boxes to the point where now there's enough of a sample size where if I go 10 for 10, if I'm not guaranteed to have a great day, I'm at least guaranteed not to have a bad one.
Which
in and of itself is a major progress because
I
never knew what was going to happen before. I felt like I was out of control.
Right.
I felt like I was the supporting character in somebody else's script and that somebody else was just kind of pulling the strings. And now I have this control where I get to write my own chapter and determine how it's going to end.
Yeah.
So that was very freeing for me. And, you know, again, 4 years later, I'm living my best life. And, you know, I have this purpose-driven passion about me and it's certainly not a coincidence. It's because I trusted this system. I trusted this framework. I stopped putting so much pressure on myself to do a lot and just did something and just, you know, allowed that process to kind of take off from there.
Yeah. That's really good. And what you just said about putting pressure on yourself is interesting because I literally just had that conversation yesterday because I still tend to do it. And that's why I have to have people around me that we were talking about mentors, need mentors, coaches, need coaches, right?
Yeah, keep it grounded.
You have to have those people around you because again, it's very easy to go back to those old habits, right? Like, you know, and I can have my checklist too, but I can still feel defeated if it doesn't look like I think it should look, right? And so that's what I have to really work on. So when I talk to people, that's what we talk about where it's like, you know, these are still things that I have to work on. Like maybe you can attest to this. It doesn't really ever go away, right? Like those internal habits and systems that we operate, those programs, do you feel like they go away or do you feel like you've just practiced it a whole lot more to where you're kind of better at not
now, when you say go away,
so
like-
far?
Like
do you still, you
habits?
Still have to, yeah. Like, do you still, you know, like yesterday I found myself still placing pressure on myself. Do you still feel that every now and then?
Every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah. But certainly not nearly as much as I did.
Yes.
I mean, it just enveloped me. I mean, it was just, I felt like it was always washing over me, these feelings of inadequacy or, you know, trying to do too much. Feeling like I was constantly coming up short and
right.
you know, all of this kind of mental junk that I would tell myself. Now, I'm at least able to observe it when it's happening.
Yes.
And the more aware you are in the moment, the easier it is for you to kind of redirect those thoughts and change that narrative and realize, okay, well, these are the things that got me to where I am, and then get right back on track. And that's the other great thing about having a system in place is that whenever you feel like you've wandered, you know, just catch yourself, go back and say, okay, what's next?
Exactly.
Right, I've done, I've exercised, I've meditated, I've journaled. All right, what's next on my list? Exactly. Just do that. Take the thinking out of the equation. Okay. Because thoughts aren't real. Thoughts are just what we're manufacturing. And as long as we understand that, we realize that this is just, you know, a narrative that doesn't necessarily have to be proven with fact or evidence. It's just what we're telling ourselves in that moment. If we can just understand that, we can tell ourselves something else.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. I'd like to say it's simple. It's not easy. Those are two, sometimes people think that's synonymous. It's two completely different words.
Yep. Yeah?
Simple typically isn't easy. You know, it's one of those things where even in business, you know, people always struggle. And this is what I help my clients with too, is they always struggle as far as simplifying their message because they have so much going on. They have so much to offer and there's so many different people they want to offer it to that they just, you know, try to just regurgitate all that at once and cast this wide net. And the problem is if you're trying to say everything and do everything to everyone, you typically struggle to reach anyone.
Oh, and I know all about that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And many of us do, especially when we are first kind of, you know, trying to branch out on our own.
Right.
You know, we want to try to be that all-encompassing person and that person that, you know, is that jack of all trades and can help here and help there. And especially when you have worn a variety of different hats over your career, it's this double-edged sword.
Right.
You know, so for me, you know, I came, you know, a journalist background, sales, education. And it's one of those things where, okay, well, I can help in all those areas, but I can't just tell people, all right, here's the laundry list of things that I've done and that I can do and expect that it's going to resonate with them because I'm just kind of talking around them. I'm not talking directly to them. So it is so important, not only what you had said, as far as really finding your tribe to kind of keep you grounded and centered, you know, of like-minded people, but to identify that specific kind of ideal avatar of a person that you most want to help.
Yeah.
And it's typically someone like you, you know, I mean, you know, I don't think that's breaking news, but you know, we're always trying to look to scratch our own itch and figure out, all right, what did I need four years ago when I was at my lowest point?
Right.
You know, what was the type of person that could have helped me? What were the type of resources and guidance that I needed? And then figure out the way that I can replicate that and use it for others.
No, that's huge. And I mean, even in like what you just said, I think about it, cause I like to work with teens a lot, you know, especially teen girls. I like, cause that's, you know, I was a teen girl, right?
Sure.
But like you said, I know that I needed certain things and I didn't always get those things. So what can I do to help, you know, these young girls get those things? And I have a teen daughter, right? So that kind of pushes me to go there a little bit more. And then when I started mentoring other personal trainers, that's what it is. It's like, I know what I didn't know back then, right? And I was kind of failing forward fast and getting very overwhelmed and not understanding where I could kind of put my knowledge or things that I could do outside of just training people in the gym. And so now, you know, I'm like, okay, well, what could I have used? Okay, well, I want to be that person. But like you said, we do have to be careful with all the hats, right? Because like I was telling somebody, you know, I had to be 20 people in the military. So I got out of the military still trying to be 20 people because that was what was normal for me, right?
Yeah.
And so I really had to work against that. I had to work against no longer trying to be 20 people because what happened was trying to be 20 people finally led me to a really dark place. And emotional overwhelm. And so I had a mentor. He said, Jody, he said, you do a lot of things. He said, with everything that you do, what are you trying to accomplish? And so I thought about it and I kind of, you know, I had to sit on it for a little while. And I said, you know, with everything that I do, I'm on a mission to save lives and lessen emotional overwhelm. And he said, there you go. He said, that's all you got to say. But before, you know, I would go and speak and whatever. Oh, what do you do? Right. Personal trainer, nutrition coach, right? Like you're naming them off. Yes. Yeah. And so exactly your point, you know, to your point. So that's what happens. We can actually tend to overwhelm ourselves and we don't need to. we're making it harder than we need to make it, you know, because we're trying to be everything for everybody. And I've had to really work on this too, you know, and coincidentally enough, I had a guy the other day, he said, hey, you wrote a book. Can you help me with blah? And I said, you know, I don't do that, but I have a friend that does. And I had to push that off. Now, could I help him? Sure. But that's not where I live.
Because then it's taking you off track.
But before you know it,
your 1 year turns into 11, right?
Yeah, and that's what happened, right? So you're talking about chasing the shiny things. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I have one of my mentors. He's the founder of Convene, which is actually a sponsor for the show. I'll give him a shout out real quick. But he said, Jody, one day you need to create that course. He said, you need to create that course about chasing the shiny things. And I said, but I have to bring in income for my family. So that I think sometimes we get very driven off of the wrong thing, right? We're driven away from our purpose because we're looking at, oh, I got to make sure I pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And I encounter this, and you probably do too, with a lot of business owners or people that don't quite own a business, but they want to, or they say they want to, right? Mm-hmm. But they can't because they're still over here. And they can't truly operate in their purpose because they're so focused on what they have to do. And so that's where what you were saying about the habit. So I say, hey, every 20 minutes counts, right? If you can work this for 20 minutes and work your day job so you can pay your bills, guess what? In 5 years, that 20 minutes is going to add up every day. Right?
You're moving the needle, but at least you're doing something as opposed to just dwelling on why you don't have that time, the energy, the luxury of doing what you want to do is, you know, life happens and there's certain things that of course are going to be out of our control.
Right.
But we also need to realize there are things that are more within our power than we probably give ourselves credit for.
That's true.
Those are the things, like you said, if we could even carve out 10 minutes a day for this one thing that we've been putting off, well, that's compounding interest right there. And those 10 minutes added up over time is going to get you significantly further than you were when you were just kind of, you know, hoping for something to turn around.
Right.
So we can't just keep waiting for that big moment to happen. Sometimes you just have to take action and realize that those actions are going to lead to something really special as a result. I love the quote, big doors swing on small hinges. So you were talking before as far as just kind of finding that small thing.
Right.
Sometimes it's that small thing that makes the biggest impact. You know, figure out what is the connector that kind of brings all of those things together. So as you were mentioning with your story, Jody, what is that big problem that you want to come in and solve?
Yeah.
And whatever that big problem is, that can still be the small hinge that connects everything else together. Okay. Well, is it related to this one common denominator? And if it's not, well, that makes it a lot easier for us to realize, okay, well, this is going to take me off the game, take my eye off the ball. And therefore it's probably not something that I should be putting any of my time and energy into right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you identify that common denominator, that purpose-driven passion, the clarity just starts coming in, you know, free flowing.
Yeah.
And that's when you can start working your life around that common denominator and start putting those pieces together.
Yeah. And then collaboration, right? Like we need to know if I don't desire to spend my time and effort in that place, I want to be able to say, hey, I have a friend that does this, right? Like somebody comes to me and they say, hey, I need help with marketing, rebranding, things like that. I got my friend Jeff over here though. He's really good at that, right? So let's talk a little bit about, let's kind of transition into, because we've dropped a lot of nuggets today for everybody that's going to be listening to this, but I want to kind of transition to like, okay, so out of all those things that you were doing, what put you where you are now, because that's what you're doing. You're helping people tell their stories, right? You're kind of helping them frame it to where they can actually put it out there where people actually want to listen. So what kind of got you to that point?
Well, once I was able to get my life back in order, you know, credit to the daily task list, then I knew the next step was, all right, well, how can I restart the career and figure out where to go from there? And as we had talked about, sometimes we can't always have exactly what we want at the time that we want it, but we at least need to do something to kind of keep the wheels going and make sure that we have a stable foundation. So I wound up taking another bridge job, as I like to call that, you know, helped to, you know, kind of, you know, pay the bills, put food on the table. And throughout that, It was really a discovery process of me figuring out, okay, well, what's the next thing that I want to embrace? And as mentioned, there were a few different things that I enjoyed doing. There were aspects that I can pull from each one of these hats that I could potentially leverage.
Right.
But upon taking inventory of those different roles that I had held over the course of my career, the one common through line that was very evident was storytelling. Mm-hmm. So whether it be as a journalist, whether it be as a teacher, as a salesperson, as a manager or trainer, if you don't have a compelling story that resonates with your intended audience, it really doesn't matter what else you bring to the table. You can have all the other bells and whistles in the world. It's typically going to fall upon deaf ears. So right. I led with that. I leaned into that as I was, you know, connecting with other people in my network. And on more than a couple occasions, I received a suggestion that, oh, well, that sounds like Donald Miller's work. So you should check out Building a Story Brand. So I wound up reading the book, and I'm glad I did. It was very serendipitous because he uses the running analogy of the hero's journey on building a brand. And that's like screenwriting 101 for me. So I went to film school for that. I learned it. I taught it. But I never equated it to the business side of things. I always thought of it, oh, well, this is how you write a story. You start with a character, they have an aspirational identity, you know, something that they want. Obviously, something gets in their way. There's a problem, because if there's no problem, there's no conflict. If there's no conflict, there's no story. Then you insert the guide. The guide displays some level of empathy and authority. They take them on this journey, this path, and yada, yada, yada. They live happily ever after. So that was storytelling 101 for me, but it turns out that it seamlessly translates over to the business building side.
Right.
You start with a character. That character is your client. Okay. They want something. All right. Something's getting in their way. You insert yourself as the guide. You help give them a plan on how they can achieve that something, and you make sure that they live happily ever after. So I wound up building my own business loosely based off of that. I already had kind of the infrastructure in place, but that kind of solidified that. Wound up launching that last year. Actually, a year ago yesterday was
Congrats.
When I went full time. Thank you. So I like to say I survived.
Yes.
I sent a newsletter out there yesterday saying I've survived 1 year, which is a feat in and of itself. You know, it wasn't this easy path that we all hope for. And, you know, there's been certainly challenges along the way, but I've made it. And, you know, and that's something that I definitely give myself credit for.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, again, not necessarily something that I had pre-planned as far as the timeline. You know, I'd been laid off from that bridge job. I had fantasized about it, but, you know, maybe 6 months later, I wanted to get kind of my ducks in a row a little bit more, but you know, again, you know, best laid plans, and here I was off and running.
Right.
And, you know, initially the plan was to really help people, you know, create an expert brand for themselves. And I built a masterclass off of that. It was a labor of love. I really loved the end result. There was this 80 plus page companion workbook. I brought on three amazing co-facilitators, and the end result was that every person that wound up taking that course absolutely loved it, and I wound up getting clients out of it. The downside was every person was two people. So I actually had less people that were students than teachers.
Oh, wow.
So not the best ratio, but it was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And you know, the past Jeff would have gotten totally down on himself and maybe just quit, threw in the towel, said, you know, what's the point? I just spent months and thousands of dollars investing into this, and to what? But, you know, it was the winner you learn type of scenario where, okay, what could have I done differently? And I wound up getting certified as a story brand guide. So they have this high ticket certification program where you get to, you know, kind of eat your own cooking, if you will.
Yeah.
And I discovered a lot in the process for my own brand, naturally so. And one of the things I immediately realized when I was putting out this masterclass is what we had talked about a few minutes prior, where I was casting this really wide net and then wondering why it wasn't hitting a bullseye with any one particular person. Because I was really kind of talking around them. Well, build an expert brand. What does that mean? I was going after founders. Well, founders come from all walks of life and from all different starting points and all different pain points.
Yeah.
So I really had to hone in. And I wound up niching down first with athletes. So we talk about coming full circle. Revelation there is like, okay, well, when did I feel most in my element? Well, when I was a sports journalist. So I catered to them. I wound up getting my first client in that space, a former New York Giant. great guy, again, purpose-driven, very passionate about building this new business that helps others as well. So there was this level of altruism that really gravitated me toward him as well.
Right.
And in the first 30 days, I was able to get him 2 guest spots on podcasts. I was able to give him this content manifesto. So there's now clarity on his message and his audience. Right. We've had 2 meetings with an Emmy Award winning Hollywood producer who is extremely interested in doing a reality show off of him and his business. And that's just in the first 30 days. So
that's awesome.
Now I have this proof of concept that I can go to market with and say, hey, listen, right. This is something that's replicable. I can do this for others. And also because of that, it wound up kind of organically widening the field a little bit more on its own. So now I had people coming to me and saying, well, you know, do you do rebranding for people that aren't athletes? Well, yeah, of course I do. I mean, the framework really translates over, but I can't market to every single one of those people. So that's why it's good that I can show kind of deliverables and then people will acknowledge that and then kind of take the initiative on their own. So now it has been kind of the buzzwords being rebranding and thought leadership. And helping people really kind of shine a spotlight on what makes them uniquely qualified to help others, which again, you know, is something that I can certainly hold near and dear to myself, because that was, you know, kind of the path that I was led on and the mission that I've had. And, you know, if I can help, you know, anyone kind of even just discover what's driving them. And what they're, so I learned a new word a couple of weeks ago, and I might be killing it already, but I believe it's ikigai, and it's a Japanese word, which loosely translates
into. I was gonna
say,
that sounds familiar. Yeah, we were in Japan for a few years. I was like, I'm pretty sure I heard that.
Then you should know, yes. So tell me if I'm butchering it, but I believe it's ikigai. And if not, you can edit this out. After. Yeah,
no, you're good, you're good.
And it loosely translates into your purpose-driven, where purpose and passion kind of intersect. And I thought that was perfect, is that I was, you know, I was searching for my ikigai, and now I'm helping others kind of find theirs.
Right.
As well. And that's what it really kind of comes down to is, you know, first and foremost, make sure that the inner work is done, you know, because it's like when you're on an airplane, they say, well, in case of an emergency, you know, help yourself first, then help, you know, somebody else that needs your support, because you're no good to anyone else unless you're any good to yourself. That really is the case. And when I was in my darkest moments, yeah. And it's so true. You know, even when I was at my darkest point and I wanted to make a difference for somebody else, it took a lot of swallowing of pride and a lot of humility for me to say, you know what, right now it's okay for me to be helped as opposed to me being the helper. Right now I need to put the work in for myself. I need to do that exercising, whether it be of the body or the brain or the emotions, et cetera. In order for me to be the best version of myself for others. And and it has to go in that order in order for it to move.
Yeah. Body, mind, soul. It's huge. And that, I mean, I do find myself saying that all the time. And of course I have to remind myself too, you know, it's like, I can't take care of anyone if I'm not taking care of me. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I have to also be okay with saying, hey, I'm not okay right now. You know, and that's something I never did. Because I didn't know that it was okay to say that, right? Like no one told me it was okay to say that. So now I just say, hey, unapologetically, this is who I am. And I don't have it all together every single moment of every single day. I will never say that. Yeah, exactly.
Some people
might
hide it better
than others. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I started learning, you know, and maybe you've seen this too. It's like the more authentic we are, you know, people are like, oh, so it's okay to be like that. That's okay. Yes, it's okay. It's freaking human. Like
people are craving authenticity now more than ever, especially in this weird time that we're living in right now, where, you know, we have, you know, terms coined as fake news and people are trying to put on a front and they aren't really who they are. People are seeking out that type of authenticity because it's validating.
Yeah.
And it's basically giving themselves permission to be themselves,
right?
As opposed to trying to be something that they think other people want them to be.
Yeah.
And people see through it now.
Yeah.
They really do. And I'll tell you, it was hard for me, you know, like I'm sure it has been for you to originally put myself out there. I've had a couple posts, especially this month being Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yep.
I shared
I've been
about
posting a lot too.
Yeah. I shared a post about how I had another dark moment. It was in grad school when I felt more alone than ever before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there was no logic behind it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I had suicidal tendencies and it was hard to reveal. It was hard to share. But I'll tell you, in the times that I had, more than pretty much any other content is when I've gotten the most favorable feedback.
Yes.
And it's been really rewarding for me because these people that I thought they had their act together are coming out of the workwork saying, I can relate. I've been through that too. I didn't realize that you went through that as well.
Yes.
And all of a sudden now you're forming this connection that you weren't even anticipating.
Right.
You were just putting that out there because I was doing that because I felt like I had to get something off my chest.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, kind of normalize it and destigmatize it. And, you know, as a result, all these other people are coming out and saying, I get it. I've been there. I understand, or I am there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that more than anything else really made it worth it.
Yeah.
You know, made me feel good about it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you asked me this earlier and it kind of dawned on me now. I think mostly I tend to work great with people who are in service-based businesses because we are usually kind of the ones that think that we have to put on the mask because we have to serve everybody else around us. And it's interesting. I was having this conversation not too long ago where I said, you know, I thought I was going into real estate to help people buy and sell their houses, but I was actually going into real estate to help realtors be okay. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, I've worked with a couple of realtors and helped them, you know, really thrive because mm-hmm. now they're like, oh, I don't have to have it together 24/7. I don't have to grind it out until I'm blue in the face, you know, or feeling overwhelmed or exhausted. But that's how I was as a personal trainer. Right. So I'm starting to notice now that, you know, especially service-based businesses, because there's a reason why we go into service-based businesses, right? It's because we want to help people. And so mm-hmm. all of us in these businesses, it's very easy. You're talking about simple and easy, right? It's very easy for us to just put on the mask and keep trucking, right? Because we got to show up for everybody else. But like you said earlier, and this is something I always say too, we have to show up for ourselves. So sometimes we have to just be okay with saying, you know what, I'm not all right in this moment, but I will be. Just give me a moment. Like, mm-hmm. give me a moment to be human. and then, you know, in a few minutes, I'll be fine. Right. And I've had to learn how to do that. And I've noticed that a lot of other people, it's like they were yearning for that. Like you said, you know, it's like they're just waiting on somebody to tell them it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
And that's why it's so important. Like you had mentioned before is really kind of finding your tribe and realizing that you are not alone. You know, no matter how alone you feel in the moment, there are millions of people out there that can relate, that can understand, and that are looking for somebody like you to validate themselves as well. So that's kind of taking it outside of yourself. And you know, a lot of times there's this ego thing that's involved with it. This pride thing for sure.
Yes.
Of, well, you know, I don't want to reveal this side of me because it's going to reveal this level of weakness.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, it's quite the contrary.
Yeah.
It's like now you become a stronger person for putting that out there and allowing other people to really embrace it.
Yeah. And I just thought about this quote, and it actually works in mental health as well, where on the back of the shirts, I remember, I used to work with a bunch of Marines and stuff like that, because I was, you know, around the military a lot, even after I got out. And on the back of the shirt, it would say, pain is weakness leaving the body. Well, that was going towards like workouts and stuff like that. But if we think about it, it can actually be emotional as well, right? Like when we're in pain, that is actually our weaknesses leaving the body. So that's not a bad thing. Right? Like, it's not a bad thing, but we kind of create this facade of, oh, well, you know, if I'm going through, like you said, and it's easier, I think, for a lot of people to just kind of go into their own cocoon, right? Mm-hmm. And, oh, I don't want anybody else to know that I'm going through this. But like you said, and what I've learned is the more that I share with other people, not only does it help me heal through things, but it's also helping other people say, oh, this is okay. Okay. I can relate to this. So I'm not alone, right? Like you said, like, okay, now I'm not alone. And that is huge because, you know, especially in the military with veterans, we talk about, you know, the suicide rate. And I've had, you know, people while I was in that had committed suicide and things like that. And I've had my own suicidal tendencies, right? And I think about that a lot. And I'm like, you know, if more of us would just speak out and say, hey, I'm not okay today. Somebody else. And so I actually posted that yesterday. I was like, I'm not okay right now. Right. Like it was something to that effect. And it's interesting because the outpour that I get from that is so amazing. And you can kind of, even in like social media where, you know, people are, social media is, I always say social media can be used for positive or negative, right? Like we can put on a front and we can just show people all the great things, or we can actually use it for the greater good and show the reality of things, right? Like it's not always beautiful. Yeah, it's not always beautiful. And so I've really been focusing on trying to show that, right? Like it's not always going to be beautiful, and it's okay not to be okay all the time. And, you know, I just love the fact that there's more of us doing that. And I think if we just continue to do that, we will, you know, even though you're kind of helping people tell their story and rebranding and things like that, and I'm kind of focusing more on the health aspect of things. Interestingly enough, no matter what kind of area we're focusing on, the more we're sharing these things, we're still helping a ton of people, no matter what they're going through or what they're dealing with or what kind of thing that they're looking for in their life. We're still able to help them just by sharing.
The sandbox will never get too crowded when it comes to services such as these, platforms such as these, people such as us that are you know, trying to help, you know, those out there that need it the most. There's always going to be a market for that. And that's not only great for job security, of course, but it's also, of course, quite rewarding, quite validating for what we do to know that there's always an opportunity to make a difference.
And the biggest thing I tell people, and I hope that people get this, you know, before we get off here, I just want to say, and I want you to have a final word as well. But the biggest thing that I always tell people is don't be too proud. You said this about pride, right? Like, don't be too proud to ask for help, because honestly, if you're getting around the right people, you will never be judged for asking for help.
Right? And even if you are, so be it.
Exactly.
Anyone who judges you, I mean, that's not part of your intended circle anyway.
Exactly.
You're not going to please everyone all the time. It's just, you know.
That right there. That's the mic drop right there.
There it is. All right. Boom.
But seriously, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to reach out to you. So how do people get with you right now to, you know, reach out and learn more from you?
Sure. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about what I do, you're welcome to check out my site. It's www.brandscribed.com. That's a brand with a B. You can also, you're welcome to shoot me an email at jeff@jeffglosser.com. You can also check out my personal site if you want to read, you know, some of my other articles, including some mental health ones that I have in my best of list. That's www.jeffglosser. That's G-L-A-U-S-E-R. And I would love to chat, love to help however I can.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, for everybody out there that's listening, I definitely appreciate you coming on today. Thank you for taking the time out and sharing your story and sharing about what you love and your passion and all these nuggets that we've thrown out today. I hope everybody gets to pick them up. Because I always say, you know, we just have to keep throwing those seeds. Not everybody's going to be ready for the seeds, but right at that moment, but maybe eventually they'll pick them up, you know? And so we just keep throwing them. And that's what I do now. I'm like, I'm just going to keep throwing the seeds, right? Like,
Something's going to sprout, you know?
Hopefully. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But definitely, thanks to everybody for tuning in. This has been another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. I am grateful for our sponsors. We have Convene Communities, where we are actually helping people tell their stories as well. And then we have First Approved Financial, where we're helping people thrive in business and in life. So thank you for those sponsors to the Breaking Barriers Now podcast. Thank you, Jeff Glosser, for coming on today. I'm looking forward to wherever you continue to go in life and in business, being able to be a part of that journey. So hopefully we can collaborate on some things here in the future. So thanks again for your time and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.